And we're live.
Welcome to the Jungian Typology Podcast, and we're here with Jeremy, Relight, Lori, and Ink. And we're going to go over some Q&A from the Jungian Typology Reddit, and one of the first questions, and Jeremy is going to start us off. So what is the first question, Jeremy?
Okay, so this one's from you, Human Oyster, and he says, assigning mastery. I tend to overstudy and overexercise my interest as to achieve mastery. I read this kind of obsessive behavior is characteristic of SLI. Is this an individual thing, or could you draw connections between and if so, would this desire manifest in SLI as well? So I quoted the New Oracle by translated there, in the translation. Which is the work from Blanco and La Miranda. So I say this is consistent with process logic than it is results. You can look at this according to the stress resistance groups, which refine the flow of information for rational and irrational process results types. So for LSI, process, rational, aristocratic. Logical concepts are transformed into concrete information about the material world. I.e., when a person with a stress tolerant type considers technology for any kind of business, he begins to refine small details, nuances, practical applications in the material world. One stress. This leads to the schedule, which is what they're called, stress resistant group, which is a little different than glue, to perfectionism. When completing a work, project, or business, it is difficult for these types to get out of it because the process logic is sensorics. And note to the smallest detail where and what needs to be improved. If the fragile switch from the middle of the work process to another thing, it'll be extremely difficult for him. Having accepted the new concept, he'll begin to process it into material and concrete details and directly to work. If his next case been halfway, he will have to repeat the same path as the first time, since it is difficult to keep in mind large number of details and nuances. Therefore, as recommendations, schedule should simultaneously focus on one large project and not dissipate their strength and attention to several, which is opposed to SLI, which is results irrational aristocratic. For them, the source of logical information for the flexible is the material world. All the variety of details and nuances of material objects are flexibly or generalized into schemes, formulas, graphs, and dependencies, i.e. translated into a specific algorithmic format. Thus, with an increase in the communicator distance and information, many details and nuances are lost that do not matter from the point of view of the expediency of the current practical task. The logic of the flexible simplifies the world to simple and clear concepts. The thinking is aimed at simplifying the task by cutting off unnecessary details, by processing information, by increasing the communicator distance. Representatives of this group find it difficult to focus on the fine details. Nuances of work that are not key to solving a specific current task. They're easily given to a switch to new task since they are starting with a large volume of small nuances to highlight the main thing, building a schematic algorithm of work that helps them to switch relatively quickly between projects. In this case, the reasons for such switchings through the acceptance of intuition and sensation can both be external circumstances and self-interest. Sometimes this leads to a large number of outstanding tasks. I think that fairly clearly shows the difference between T flowing into S and S flowing into T.
Awesome. And if Relight would like to go ahead and answer for the subjectivism and objectivism correctly, because this is on the thread as well, and the original question that was proposed by Human Oyster and Relight went ahead and responded.
Yeah, so the same guy, Human Oyster, asked another question. Have I understood subjectivism and objectivism correctly? So he's basically trying to differentiate between them. And on subjectivism, he says, is it about seeking out different pieces of information on phenomena? Well, that's incorrect grammar, by the way. From perspectives as to see which one is best tailored towards a desired objective or outcome. Whereas objectivism, as he claims, would be about seeking out a single but correct piece of information on phenomena. So what he's talking about basically when he says, when he mentions subjectivism, he's mostly combining perception with objectivism, because the program function or the dominant function sets the goal. If he's trying to find out how to accomplish a desired objective or outcome, that's the job of the creative function in model G, which takes its information from, which is activated by the program function. So if we talk about subjectivism, subjectivists will not be inclined to derive objectively accurate rules and regularity. Wait, they're not as anal as, and definitely not as anal as process objective, like LSE. So the subjectivists assume that people have their own criteria and they evaluate them according to the steps of the system or the intentions or so on. They do not propose a transceptual framework on the subject, whereas objectivists would point out that there is only one correct or most effective way to do something. And they define actions as correct or incorrect, contrasting them to their representation of what is objectively correct. So that is, in a nutshell, the difference between subjectivism and objectivism.
Great. A little bit more of a thread that you were having, a more of a correspondence with him. And there was another question, and you can go ahead and answer that.
Okay, I'll just sum it up in brief. So objectivists increase information as to attain knowledge, and subjectivists decrease information as to attain understanding. So that's basically TI, subjects data to rules and boundaries. TE seeks to increase information about a source, especially if it's positivist. So as an introverted element, TI will assess the data in a static form. That is how they're connected with each other in a semantic form. And that's why it's so obsessed with consistency, right? And if we talk about subjectivists, which he claims is they decrease information as to attain understanding, that's kind of bullshit.
So that was the Q&A part of Jungian Typology Reddit portion. And then for the second part, I'm going to do a little bit more of a pulling stuff out from the MBTI Reddit. And then we can try to answer it from the Socionics kind of perspective. And this is more for anyone who would like to answer. It's not directed towards anyone. They say, when people are bored, they begin using their third function. And the third function, I'm assuming, is just going by the BB model or just the standard four, which is going to be the launcher function in Socionics. So do you think this is correct in terms of Socionics? No one is speaking right now.
You crossed out, right? Says consume from familiar media, listen to old songs, watch old movies for the 10th time, etc. I think that's somewhat true. I think watch old movies, maybe that once in a while, but I think that's more yielding. Okay. I do that maybe more. But yeah, sort of. I wouldn't. Yeah, I mean, it's your pure off function. Mobilize.
Relight, did you have anything to add, or maybe your perspective on the MBTI third function?
We're talking about that would be FE minus, right? Then this would be invoked in a sort of provocative way. If the ILE is bored or something, maybe testing out the waters a bit with a bit of provocation. And that in turn launches the dominant function, which is any, which is all about sharing ideas. So, and it would not be much about a sustained usage of the function in as much as a short switch. So they begin using their third function, but it's not that they sustain the usage. It's only for a short while, as it's still the pessimum function. And beneath the launcher function is the ignoring function, which is ignored because of its direct opposition to the dominant, because it's boring. So if you follow the same paradigm, they would be bored if the usage is prolonged.
I also agree with that. I see a lot of MBTI ENTPs. They will be bored by the prolonged use of FE minus, and also at the same time, they are also engaged by it. They might enter a new community and want to rustle things up because they're looking at the social atmosphere, and they have a general projection of what that general atmosphere should be looking like. And they will just take and pick social conversations, try to also direct it and try to control it, and also try to get a certain response out of certain individuals within that community, or get a particular kind of reaction. Or they're trying to test out this idea, and they want to see how this would turn out. Particularly when I use my tertiary function or the launcher function in Socionix, I want to be able to think that I can make something more productive. And if I don't see that it can be productive, just my own subjective evaluation of it, then I will not be engaged. So when I'm bored, I will try to ask the question to myself, is this going to, you know, really matter? Can I make this more productive? I'm looking at the things that are more the most prioritized on my list. Of any of these things, are they going to really matter or not? Because if I don't really see that it's going to matter, I'm probably just going to sit my ass and just contemplate, and more likely just be engaged in the things that I'm already engaged in. So I will go ahead. Something really, really big has to really spark me. Like, it really has to make things more productive, like this podcast. Like, I know this is a pretty big deal. We've been talking about it for a couple months. No one has really gotten around to doing it. So I think this is a really big deal. So I had a boost of energy when we revisited this topic again. It's like, oh, we've been talking for a long time. Now it's actually a very, very, very big catapult. And it makes it very, very interesting at the same time. Because, like, if we did this and it really works out, wow, it's going to be really, really good. So I want to push myself to go ahead and do it. But at the same time, like, I feel the energy that I have in it. It's also like I'm beginning to get a little bit like disengaged, because like the initial momentum is very, very strong. Like, this is really, really good. We're getting everybody pumped up. And then a week later, I burn out and like, can someone else like start hosting these podcasts? That's kind of how I see it. But definitely it does engage me, but probably not as prolonged use of it is probably going to get me very bored. So we're going to go ahead and take another question. Does an INTJ overestimate their ability level? So that is the ILI in Socionix. So I'll try to go ahead and answer this. So the ILI, in my observations, is going to generally overestimate things that are outside of its knowledge. But things inside its knowledge base, it can kind of bridge a connection towards it. We call them process types in Socionix, and they're very good at taking things like axioms, small basic box. For example, they can connect A, B, C to D pretty well. But things outside of it, when they start to extrapolate on that knowledge that they have not really studied before, they tend to be wrong quite often. And this is the problem that I see with most process types in general, that they tend to extrapolate from their axioms way too much. And like, they will go ahead and say, oh yeah, this law probably applies over here because it also makes a lot of sense. But they can be wrong in that area quite often. And not only their ability level, for example, let's say an ILI is going to have a project at work, and it's something that these ILI has not done before. They might be able to predict situations of how they were and try to connect that together, and then try to see how this situation might play out in that particular situation, and then volunteer to be into this project and to be recruited in this project, and then figure out that halfway through the thing that they are not very competent in that particular area because they're very good at engineering. And this one is also engineering, but they're better at electrical engineering, and this is more about another that is less electrical. And they thought they were competent in this area, but they were not competent in this area. But then they can't get out of it as well, because process types, they tend to get stuck, and halfway through something, they're not going to drop it. And they will also try to lie, not just because they're feeling like they have to lie to save face, but they're lying because they can't really get themselves out of the problem, and they get committed to the problem. And then they kind of like project how they're feeling and how other people are feeling as well onto a connection, because they process types relate to more of the social, and they are more going to care about how the group is doing rather than the certain individuals, and try to disconnect themselves away from it. And so they will most likely overestimate their ability to correctly predict things that are outside their knowledge base, but things that are within their knowledge base that they can actually connect together, that they actually have knowledge on, and the things that they can make sense, the things that they actually studied, right, A, B's, and C's, they will not overestimate that as well. And the last part of that is they are negatives. The negativists tend to less likely overestimate their abilities than positive types. They are going to make sure that they're thinking in terms of alternatives, like this is the alternative situation, and before getting to this problem, I might have like thought about these situations beforehand and thought about the other scenarios and thought about my ability, my actual ability versus my potential abilities, and factor all these kind of scenarios together before actually participating in them. But then once they start to participate in something and their miscalculations were wrong, they're less likely going to not get out of it and overestimate their ability, and also try to portray that they know more than they actually know when they get caught up in this kind of things. It's really hard for them to get out of these situations if they miscalculate. But before getting into them, they most likely will not overestimate. It's just the problem when they actually do overestimate.
I think that if ILIs were to overestimate something, it would be their predicted response to a future event that they've predicted. So, for example, if a plan did not turn out to be the way that they thought it would, and they've devised no alternatives, so they won't be able to react on the fly, for example. That's the domain of SE. So that's why they're so skeptical of hasty initiatives. They're very snappy people. But if you're talking about overestimation of ability, that's more in tune with unsupervised NE plus. So what ILEs, for example, do is they boast about themselves a lot because they see themselves in terms of their potential. And for the ILI, NE plus is in the control position. So I think they're pretty self-aware, one of the most self-aware types. That's all I have to add on that.
That actually rides on top of the previous question. What types are process versus results? So go ahead and name the few ways that we can divide them. I know aristocratic and democratic is one of the ways that we can divide the types. I think Relight, you had a list.
Yeah, we can divide them on the basis of three smaller dichotomies. So that would be intuition, sensing, and constructivist, emotivist. That's the first one. Second one would be thinking, feeling, and tactical, strategic. And the third one, as Ink mentioned, would be aristocratic, democratic, and rational, irrational. So the process types would be intuitive and constructivists, intuitive thinking and tactical, and then aristocratic and rational, with the other side of the dichotomy being reserved for result types. But I think this is a more convoluted way of understanding this. It's quite depersonalized and axiomatic. So if the OP is asking for a list of the types, I think we can refer to a document or something, or Ink can just read out the names, the list of the types.
I mean, I think it's kind of easier to know exactly where you are as your type. And remember that that it includes your ring of supervision, know it by types, which kind of gives you a broader perspective of a lot of the other dichotomies.
I'm assuming they mean crazy temperance, not socionics. Yeah, I'm assuming let's see what they mean. I'm going to go ahead and read it.
Oh, I was just going to mention that, you know, if you're talking crazy temperaments, then it's a mix of clubs, as we call them in socionics, for intuitives, and romance styles for, it's going to be kind of confusing. It's just really messy and just doesn't really quite make sense unless you really have to. You're in that, we were talking with Danita in there, there's a bigger difference between central and peripherals, and there's between SE and SI, but just trying to clarify what they mean by. it is different between those constants.